Hare Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 9. Vijaya, Gurudev, in what aspects are there differences between Goloka and Vraja Gokula? Goswami, whatever you see in Vraja is there also in Gokula, Goloka. The differences of perception arise solely because of the varying consciousness of the different viewers, which is graded according to the levels of Shraddha and Bhakti. In reality, there is no distinction between Goloka and Vraja Vrindavan. It is merely the perception of the viewer that creates differences. Persons steeped in tamaguna see everything in Vraja as material objects, whereas people conducted primarily by rajaguna see with a slightly more elevated and auspicious material consciousness. Finally, persons advanced in sattvaguna can increasingly view in shuddha sattva. Thus, everyone views the Dhamma according to their own level of eligibility, and consequently, what they see is different. Right. So, pointing out is that actually there's no difference between Goloka and Gokula. It's exactly the same place. But what is different is how people view it, right? So depending upon whether they're in the modes of nature or in pure goodness, they will see it differently. Someone in pure goodness will see it as exactly the same, right? Someone in goodness, then they'll start to catch the transcendental aspect. Like that. Someone in passion sees that there's something auspicious, because auspicious means you can gain something, right? So the mode of passion can appreciate auspiciousness, right? Because otherwise, how do you get profit? If it's not auspicious, it doesn't get profit, right? But the mode of ignorance, they'll just say it's just another material place like everywhere else, right? You know, it's hot, it's got mosquitoes, lots of people coming and bothering and this and that. So it's just the same, right? Vijaya, Gurudev, the subject is getting clear and clear in my understanding, but kindly give examples to properly clarify this point. Goswami, this is indeed a complex problem, for it is prohibited to reveal one's own realizations of these esoteric truths. Whatever realizations and perceptions one gathers by Krishna's mercy must be kept a guarded secret. However, I will disclose to you whatever the previous spiritual preceptors have acquiesced to reveal. And whatever remains to be known by you, by Krishna's mercy, you will soon perceive. Right? In other words, it's not something one sits around and talks about. This is not gossip, right? So we don't sit around and just talk, wow, yeah, yes, you know, like this kind of thing. It's a matter of what the acharyas have revealed, that's what we discuss. And based on that, we apply it in our life. Then, by Krishna's mercy, then one will get one's own realizations. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the Shastras, it says that one should be able to tell the difference between spiritual and material.
Yes.
But then, I think it's like, I think I heard it in relation to, like, Vikala Adhikari, that advanced level devotee doesn't see anything material, just sees everything as spiritual.
Yes.
So then what is the benefit of being able to tell between spiritual and material if we're meant to see everything as spiritual?
Because how do you see it as spiritual if you think it's material? Right? It's just like, how do you do good if you don't know what bad is? Right? Because then you could do anything and call it good. no, these things are good, these things are bad. You have to know the difference. But a good person always sees things and opportunities to do good. He never sees bad. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you get to one point first and be able to tell the difference, and then you go beyond that.
Yes. It means you're taking a step between material, understanding what's spiritual, and then going to the spiritual. Does that make sense? But, because actually the only thing material is people's consciousness. There is no material world as such. It means this is the it's just like for let's say for the this prison warden or for the guards, you know, what is the prison? It's a place to work. It's just a building where they work. You understand? But to the prisoners, it's prison. You understand? So that's the point. Is someone on that transcendental platform, it's still God's kingdom. So material is simply people's consciousness. Right? So that's just being pointed out here. There's no difference between Goloka and Gokula. The only difference is in consciousness. In Goloka, no one has below Shuddhasattva consciousness. But in Gokula, then you'll have all the full range. Does that make sense? That's actually the difference. Yeah. Prohibited meant means in your understanding of Krishna, realizations of the closeness and things like that. You know, you don't sit there, well, I was praying yesterday and then Krishna told me this and then I told him that and then he said, no, what do you mean? That's stupid. You know, you don't, you know, that's not what you're talking about. Yes, it's a matter of, you know, I'm feeling like this or I'm having this inspiration or like that. It's a matter of just the practice of devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Because one has to be very careful. Means on the advanced level, then someone not on advanced level may not understand it. On a not advanced level, then the tendency is that if you think that that's something special, then you'll be proud of it. Right? But it's by Krishna's mercy that one has realization. Does that make sense? So, you know, like that. Yeah.
Sorry, can you just repeat what you said just then about having a conversation, like praying to Krishna, and then Krishna says, oh, that's stupid, or whatever, because I do that. So, would you say that's something to do or not to do?
It's not something to talk about. That's the, that's the discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. They sometimes the philosophy that or the comment that no need to go to holy town since preaching is as good as staying in the holy town.
Then why did Prabhupada go to all the trouble to make the holy dhams? And if you notice, how did Prabhupada make the holy dham? Right? Have you ever been to Kumbh Mela? Okay. Have you ever seen pictures of Kumbh Mela?
Yeah.
Okay. How are the sadhus staying at Kumbh Mela? Right? They have a little fire going and they all hang around that and they sleep out there. Everything's out there. That's how the sadhus live in the dham. Okay. But how did Prabhupada make it?
Comfortable.
Very comfortable. For that a Westerner could relate to it. You know what I'm saying? So, why do most preachers stay in the West? One is that they do have that drive to preach there, but the bottom line is they cannot handle India. That's it. They just can't handle India. So it's comfortable over there. You do what you want, you get up in the morning, you know you're not going to have diarrhea, you know you're not going to be bitten by mosquitoes, you know it's not going to be too hot. You know, there's not going to be millions of people because the West looks like it's under permanent curfew. There's just nobody there. You walk down the street, you know, wow, it's busy today. Like we're driving in the car with one devotee in Sweden, and there's a highway, and there's six cars on the whole highway, both sides, you know, as far as you can see. Ooh, it's really busy today. Busy. You know what I'm saying? They just can't handle India. They can't handle the intensity of just so many people and their personal dealings and having to be careful in the etiquette and the culture, and that's the real reason that they'll tell you that. The other reason is they don't want you to come here because you might get attracted and not go back. You understand? Now, if it's a person who likes to come to India and likes to spend the time, then he's simply saying is that you go to the Dham, get charged, and then go back and preach. That was the purpose of the Dham. Is that one comes here, one gets inspired, then one goes back out and preaches. So to avoid one just being whimsical and just disappearing into the scene, right? Then those statements. But someone who never goes to India, doesn't like to go to India, then it's the other one. They can't relate to it.
Yeah, and obviously they are different than also realization of the Dham.
That's there. You understand? So the point is it is non-different. But the point is it's still different. Whatever you do here, you get 1,000 times the benefit. Whatever you do anywhere else outside the Dham, even though you're in Vrindavan, you get the equivalence of one benefit. Here you get 1,000. And it doesn't matter. You tack any name you like onto the place, it still doesn't give you that 1,000 times the benefit. You know, new Vrindavan, new Braja Dham, new this, new Mayapur. No, it doesn't matter. It's still, you get the benefit of one. And that doesn't matter if it's on a farm or in the city or this or that. You do devotional service, you get the benefit. But you do that same service in Mayapur, Vrindavan, you get 1,000 times the benefit. This is just the way it is. They may not like it, but who cares? Huh? Puri, of course, is included. Don't be stupid like that. You know what I'm saying? But what about Dwarka? What about Sri Ranga? What about this? Hey, don't do that. We're talking about the Dham. So if Puri's a Dham, then yes. If it's a Tirtha, then no. Okay? You know, understand? In other words, ask the questions, but don't play with the conversation. Okay. Yes. No?
I'm good.
Oh, you wanted to ask about Badri now. Okay. You can say is there any difference between the two? Right? Or what is the difference or like that? That you can ask. You understand? Because then it's actually trying to understand. Because everyone knows it's called Puri Dham, Purushottam, you know, it's like that, knows it. Otherwise, why is Lord Chaitanya hanging out there? Right? It's just a different flavor, that's all. That might come up here. Okay. In Goloka, all perception is based upon pure spiritual consciousness. Thus, mundane perception is absolutely absent. For nourishing rasa, Krishna's chit-shakti conjures up a wide range of bhava. One of the elements created by bhava is known as abhiman, spiritual self-conception out of transcendental love. So that Krishna's chit-shakti, this means the original chit-shakti, it doesn't mean of sat chit ananda, means the chit meaning the sarup shakti, right? So it means yoga maya in this case. So yoga maya is creating a wide range of bhava. So many things are coming up because the idea is it's a lambana, right? So this lambana is that wide range of activities that you are inspired in devotional service. But now the whole point is everybody in Vrindavan is always inspired. So what's happening? So everyone's inspired because everybody's lambana is always there. Right, because one, it's Krishna and the devotees, so you're always, so all this in Vrindavan is Krishna and the devotees, so you're guaranteed. But the specific kinds of elements, everybody has. They're all overlapping. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, that youthfulness and that Krishna has, that's inspiring to Mother Jashoda. But it's because then, you know, the boys are, you know, how you say, energetic and spunky and like that. And so the mom likes that, right? The friends like it because, you know, energetic and get out there and wrestle and stuff. The gopis like it because of then the boy-girl kind of interaction. You understand? So it's, but it has a different meaning. It inspires a different reaction. So what they're seeing is different aspects of the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So all these things are going on at once. That's arranged by Yogamaya. She's arranging all these things are happening at once. So all this rasa is going on. Like we see Nectar Devotions talking about when Krishna's in the assembly, then all these different devotees are all seeing him in different ways. We have the example in Mathura, but also in Vrindavan. The cowherd boys are seeing him in one way, Mother showed another, because when they come back with the cows, everybody's there. You know, so everybody has a different mood. So that's all going on at once. So that's Yogamaya. So it's not that everyone has to sit around and waiting for, you know, their moment and, oh, here it comes, yeah, okay, yeah. No, it's always going on. It's constant. So that's the point, is Krishna being the reservoir of all pleasure, of all rasa, means all these aspects of Lamana are always there at all times. He is rasa. That means anyone who's an ashray will always find an inspiration in Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it always will be there. Right? Just like in the material world, you have a situation, so many people are inspired, everyone, they all get something different out of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, two people are walking along, and you know, two kids are walking along, and there's some mud, and one goes, ooh, yuck, and the other goes, ooh. You know, like that, you know, get out of stick. Play in the mud, you know. No? Yeah, something like that. Okay. So one of the elements created by Bhava is known as Abhiman, spiritual self-conception out of transcendental love. I'm not sure if he'll bring that up because he's not giving any definitions. So that generally, yeah, no, it's coming up. Krishna in Goloka is unborn and without a source. Yet, to embellish the Leela, eternal associates such as Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda Devi have personified the Vatsalya Rasa through their Abhiman of fatherhood and motherhood. Okay, so here's the Abhiman, is that taking on that conception of transcendental love. Right? In other words, Krishna doesn't have a mother and father, but Nanda and Jashoda have taken on that mood of being their parents, his parents. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what is actually there? You know what I'm saying? How do you take it? You know, because he is eternal, unborn. So he's the source of everything. He's all like that. So from that platform, you're looking at it, how does any of this work? But it's out of love for that person who is everything that they take on that, and Krishna reciprocates that. Yes.
Maharaj's Abhiman is decided by the devotee, not by Krishna.
Yes, by the devotee. Because it's their nature. Yeah.
The demons, when they come to Vrindavan and they see everybody's inspired, they somehow don't get that mood too.
No, because of the mode of ignorance, they always see everything in as material. So they may think that they're inspired materially, you know, and so then they want a piece of the action, right? You know, so, like that, you know. Balaram's out there with all these girls, so, you know, hey, cool, you know, he'll have to take a few also, you know. So.
Was it the wrestlers in the arena who saw Krishna as death personified?
Yes.
How to understand this?
Because they were going to wrestle with Krishna? Yeah,
yeah. That's what they're seeking out, or they're attracted.
Because they're wrestlers, so in there, that danger of the fighting and that is the aspect of what they're always thinking of. So now here's the person that's going to
fulfill all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Abhimana, is it similar to the identity?
Yes, no, it says conception of spiritual self-conception out of transcendental love. So you have a conception of yourself out of love. right? Means we're saying that Mother Yashoda is in this rasa because she has that kind of rati, right? That kind of attraction. But that means that to apply that attraction, you have to have that kind of identity, right? Because attraction is prajumna. But that means you first have the identity, the sankarshan, right? So that means there is the abhiman is the sambandha, is that sankarshan aspect. The rati is the, how you say, the prajumna aspect, right? It means the experiences one gains from it, in that exchange, that's the aniruddha, right? And the activities that one performs, that's the vasudeva. Right, so there you get the sambandha, abhideya, and parojya. But within sambandha, you have to have the attraction, but you have to have an identity to be attracted. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
So, is it having this identity, like, I don't know how to say this, but like, isn't it wrong to have identify with some position?
Otherwise, how do you function? If you want to wrestle with Krishna, if you don't identify that you're the other wrestler, then how do you wrestle?
I know, but is it you identify with it, but you're not attached to it?
No, because the point is you're identifying out of transcendental love. The material world, you're identifying with something false and saying, I am that. But the point is Mother Yashoda is her body.
Okay, so that doesn't apply to us?
No.
Okay, right.
Yeah. That's why in the beginning it was saying that one has to be able to appreciate the difference, that the transcendental is on Shuddha Sattva, so there's no false.
Yeah.
But in the material world it's based on Mishra Sattva, it's mixed goodness. So therefore, there's always false. So that's why the beginning of the rasa, there's always a difference.
So this only applies to us when we're in the spiritual world?
Well, this is, yes, but this is talking about what goes on in the spiritual world so you know what you are trying to obtain. Does that make sense? Yeah. Respect, okay. Similarly, in Madhurya or Sringara Rasa, the dichotomy of Vipralamba Bhava and Sambhoga Bhava are present as manifestations of Abhiman. Actually, in Parakiya Bhava, the Parakiya Abhiman, self-conception as a female paramour, and the Upapati Abhiman, self-conception as a male paramour, are eternally in full play to embellish the lila, although simultaneously the underlying relationship is of Shuddha Svakiya, pure conjugal union. Right? It means there's an identity that, so here's an important element, there's an identity in the paramours there that Krishna's thinking, I am the Upapati because they have husbands, right? And they're thinking that they're the paramour because they have husbands, right? But actually underlying, this is Krishna and his internal energy. So they're non-different. So actually underlying is Swakya. Like that. Because they're just interacting, they're just taking that mood. You understand? It's just like, I think it was a very popular thing at Versailles that Louis the 14th, he and the wives and the main players in the court, they would dress up as cowherds, right, and just go out into the field and this and that, just like they were ordinary, villagers. And so that was some fun for them, right? But actually, here's the king and queen and courtiers of the French Empire, right? So it's a matter of, but Krishna can do that permanently, right? Because, as God, there he can, manage the creation and everything like that. So he can just do that, Does this make sense? So he's taking on that mood. But that's why it's being brought out here is actually, there is no parakiya by tattva. Right? There is by rasa. Because by tattva is just Krishna's energy. So that's why there's nothing wrong with it. One can't fault it that it's immoral.
No.
Right? But no one has problem that Krishna is with 16,108 queens in Dwarka. Mm. Right? But it's the same personalities in the rasa dance. Mm. You understand? Yes.
That first time at the Gopis, where they're going to ask, they cross the Jamuna and they say, Krishna is the eternal Brahmachari. That's the underlying same principle.
Yeah, it's eternal brahmachari because he's always practicing the brahmacharya, because the point is he's never how you say it?
Against religion.
Yeah, I mean there's so many things going on. There's against religious principles because means it is his energies, right? You know. And he's not being overwhelmed by them. He's agreeing to be under that. You know, so from many angles, then you can establish on the platform of Tattva that he is Brahmachari. But the point is that's not the point. The point is we're dealing in rasa. So now here, the gopis. Now if Mother Yashoda had to cross the river saying, Krishna is a Brahmachari, you know what I'm saying? Or many of the cowherd boys, or, you know, nothing special. But here you have the same gopis that he's out dancing with, and they have to say, he's a brahmachari. Right? So according to rasa, is he a brahmachari? No, but they have to say it. Right? So that's the fun. You know? You know, and then Durvasa ate all those thousands of preparation. And then it's, you know, he only lives off of, you know, the whatever it is, the
juice of the durva grass.
Durva grass, okay. You know, I'm going to say that. Why say that? Yeah. Okay? Okay? Yeah. So the point is, but he, on one level, he's not the body, so therefore the body's eating, the soul's not eating. You know, at the same time, you can say, if you're taking prasad, you're not eating. Right, the materialist eats. The devotees don't eat. They only serve Krishna. They honor prasad. So in that way, you can say he's not eating. Does that make sense? So that's the fun in here is creating the contradictions, because contradictions are what makes things fun.
I also heard an element about the Vasa. He said one sannyasi was telling. He said, "Yeah, I'm eating yolalu, which comes from milk, and the cow eat grass. So in the end, I'm only eating grass itself." So
I see. Okay. Yeah, that works. That also is fun. You know, the whole idea is that the rasa creates fun, creates interest, creates interaction. That's the whole point. Is if it doesn't create interaction, what's the meaning? Right, so it's not about, you know, that it's right, it's this, it's that. No, it's nice. The rightness is, it's according to rasa. Right, so that pure love, that rasa that's manifest due to that pure love, that's there. But as we're saying, one has to have an identity to have that matches that attraction. Right, that's also a point of the two have to match. That's why we see a Saki Baki. It doesn't really match because they're taking on dressing up as a girl, but they're boys. You know, I mean, it'll go down really great on King's Cross, but other than that, it's not happening. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because the Abhiman, you know, that they're expressing it through, the Abhiman is I'm the body, and this body then is, you know, I dress it up as a girl. It's not matching. Right? So therefore, that's rasa bas. So they're apasampradaya.
Like that. It is the tattva who defines the situation, the position.
Does the tattva... means tattva and rasa, they go together. But one is the taste and one is the facts. You know what I'm saying? But the point is what facts are you looking at? Mother Yashoda is an energy of Krishna. And she sees herself in loves Krishna in that role of parent. So that's a fact. You know what I'm saying? So she acts within that. But then you also have is she's an energy of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's just what are you looking at? What's the point? So the point here is that, as we mentioned, like it mentioned, that jnana, the nature of jnana is it burns up the material existence. But it only leaves you with spiritual. It doesn't leave you with devotional. So this is analyzation of the devotional. So it's not based on logic. It means you can take it back to the logic if you want, but the element of the discussion of rasa, it's not about the logic of it. Right? That's why I said before we had the discussion on the Shuddha Sattva, is that if you don't have that understanding of that it's pure goodness, then one will always doubt if it's right. Right? No, but it's on the platform of pure goodness, so what can be wrong? Does that make sense? You know, Krishna is perfect, then his devotees are perfect, their interactions are perfect. Does that make sense? Yeah. In Vraja Gokula, however, these same abhimanas become apparently manifest in a gross and mundane outward form because of the mundane notions of the viewers. Right? So the viewers see it like that. So they'll say, oh, in Vraja it's like this. Right? Yes.
So the covering of Dham, is it Yogamaya or Mahamaya?
Yogamaya covers it. The same person. But Yogamaya arranges it. Because Mahamaya can't cover the Dham.
But then Mahamaya covers our vision.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. In Gokula, you have all the wide ranges. This is important here, as one understands, is that, because we'll say, oh, how can you be in the spiritual world and be under the modes of nature? But this is what it's explaining, is in Gokula, that can happen. In Goloka, it doesn't happen. Only those on the platform of prema are in Goloka, but those below the platform of prema can be in Gokula. It means those on prema are also there, because the Lord is with his associates. But that means everybody else can be there. Right? Because it's not out of transcendental love that the yogic Brahmins didn't give Krishna anything. Right? That's the modes of nature. So that's the point is, the Tathasta Shakti is bringing together the spiritual and the material at one point. So it's much greater than just the jivas. Right? In other words, that point where the spiritual world, the internal potency and the external potency touch, because they don't technically touch, that it's the Tathasta Shakti that holds those two together. Right? And then the jivas are expanded from that tattva. So wherever spiritual materials at the same place and the same time, that's the Tathasta Shakti. Right? And then in that environment, then you can have the internal potency, the external potency, the jivas, everything. So therefore everything can be there at once. So that's also an Achintya Shakti. Because how can that, is that possible? It's not that the Tathasta is the Achintya. The Chit Shakti is the Achintya Shakti. Right? The complete potency of the Lord. So therefore Tathasta is one part of the Sarup Shakti. Right? So Tathasta is one part, internal is one part, external is one part. Right? So the spiritual, that's the the internal, that's the manifestation of the Lord's pastimes. Right? The external is the manifestation of what doesn't include the Lord's pastimes. Right? Where people are an illusion about the Lord. And Tathasta is where both of those can go on at once. Does that make sense? Just like in the Sandhya, you can do activities of the night and of the day. But at night, you can do night activities. Day, you do day activities. But at the Sandhya, you can do both. Understand? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
That why sometimes we find devotees saying that it's difficult to see how one devotee is so spiritually advanced and something material has come up. I mean, because
you're dealing with both at once. So that's the point. That's a sadhana means you're practicing to become stable in the devotional and not in the material. But by habit, we tend to act according to the material. Right? There's an opportunity for what we designate as sense gratification. The tendency is to be attracted by that. Does that make sense? So the idea is by purification you start to see that this is not something to be attracted to. Right? So you're purified and you have knowledge. So jnana and vairag. Right? So these become helpful. They aren't the bhakti. These are the help. Because the bhakti is that choice, how you're going to use the situation. Does that make sense? Right? So then gradually one becomes purified. And therefore one starts to see the situation, how to serve Krishna as opposed to how to enjoy oneself. Does that make sense? Yeah. For example, in Braja, Mother Yashoda actually gives birth to a child in her maternity room. The Nitya Siddha Gopis are married in ceremonies to Gopas such as Abhimanyu and Govardhan Gopa. The Govardhan Gopa means he's not brought out much, but just like Nanda Baba is kind of the head of that area, right? And in Varshana, Vishabhanumars is in charge of that group of Gopas. So Govardhan Gopa, he's in charge of another group, the one out at Sanket. No. They live in Sanket? No, Yavat. That side. That's in between the two. That's a third group. You don't hear about them much because that's the group that Abhimanyu's from. But that's why Abhimanyu has such attitude, because he's always talking how he's going to go to Govardhan Gopa. Right? Because Govardhan Gopa has good connections with Kamsa. Right? So he's always threatening that, you know, he'll go to him and they'll get Kamsa, he'll send his constables. Right? So it's...
But the Gopis, they married to coward boys.
Yes.
Are they the same coward boys that play with Krishna?
They, why wouldn't they be? Means you got some other ones? Or?
That's what I was... Because in Rasa it doesn't sound good.
I'm saying they're a different group because they're all married over at this area where Govardhan Gopa is from. That's why I said to Gopas such as, means that's the group. So generally, because the other ones, they're the Vrindavan group, you know, and some are there. So you don't hear much from here. In other words, you have to have a group that they're married to, otherwise how are they married? You know, like that. So it's just like, and the point is, Parakia, if everything goes smoothly, there's no obstacles, how is it Parakia? Right? So therefore you have to have the husbands, you have to have the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law and all these kind of personalities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then when, you know, they're all there, then it you have something happen. Does that make sense? You know. Because the point is they're not there in Goloka, because you don't have to have them. So that would indicate they're not the same group. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then, you know, where did they go? You know, like that.
Now, the other day you mentioned about Govardhan. You mentioned it goes up to different end of mind. Geographically...
It means it starts over there. Radhakund, Shamakund, they're up at the Chaitanya Math. And so it goes from that diagonally across down the other side of the Ganga, down to Devananda Gaudiya Math. Yeah, it means it's that way. So we're on the eastern side of Govardhan. Yeah. Are the husbands of the gopis pure devotees? They're expanded. They would be, from what I can understand, be expanded from the Sandini potency. So they would be a Shantaras, right? But see, in the past times, they're not going to be devotees, right? But ultimately, all right, Tattva, even Jatila and Kotila, they're only doing this to enhance the pastime. So this is their service. You understand? But that's not how it runs. You know another? Yeah, does that make any sense? Yeah. And on this very real basis, have Parakya Abhiman, right? Because there actually are husbands, right? Mother Yashoda is Krishna's, because she is giving birth to a child. Right? Thus, the various abhimans of Goloka are present in Braja Gokula in a very tangible form. Right? That's the thing. Gokula, it's done in this way so that people agree with it. Right? From here. At the same time, then you have something to discuss. If you're not born there, you just like poof, appear. You know, oh, where do you come from? Well, that little puff of smoke over there. You know, no, because the point is then they say, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from this village. Oh, who are your parents? You can say their names. You have brothers and sisters. You know, all these different things are there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how do you fit in? You know, oh, where are you from? Well, I don't know. Do you have any parents? Well, I don't know. You know? What do you do? I don't know.
You're stupid.
Maybe. Thus, the various. Okay. In truth, all this is orchestrated by Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti and has extremely subtle links with the original primeval truth. Right? So, the subtle links. Right? Not the least part of these leelas is false, and all aspects are a facsimile of Goloka. So they're all truth, like that. But at the same time, that's not the point. Goloka is not about the truth, it's about the rasa. But if you need, then it's defined in Gokula. So Krishna and everybody, they're dealing, their mood is as if they're in Gokula. Even if they're in Goloka, they act as if they're in Gokula. Right? The only difference, you don't have to have husbands. Right? Does that make sense? Differences in perception occur on account of the various degrees of obstructing mundane consciousness in the viewers. So whatever modes are getting in the way will be what obstructs it. You know, where there's not an obstruction, then you'll see it in its natural form. Where there is an obstruction, then it will be affected by that particular mode. Mm-hmm. Vijay, right? So that's why, okay. Vijay, must we first purify the quality of our bhajan in Astakalya Lila Smarana, meditation upon the eternal pastimes of Goloka, by the 8 daily time divisions, and then try to grasp these topics of braja, right? So now this is, now that right there is hitting the means that the point that they'll say this is Raga Nuga Sadhan, right? But the thing is so said, must we purify ourselves and then think about Astakalya Lila simply means the pastimes that go on during the 24 hours of Krishna, right? So it's, so everything's divided up into 3-hour segments, right? As an average, some of them are shorter, some of them are longer. But the point is then you have these, so 4 in the day, 4 in the night, you get, right? Because if you say sun comes up at 6, so then you have 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, right? So you get 4 praharas, right? And at night you get the same, so therefore that's why 8 praharas, the Astra Prahara, right?
Isn't there also a division that is 8 in the day and 8 in the night? I think I read it for Kshatriyas.
No, but that's you're taking these Ardha Yama.
Okay.
A Yama is 3 hours.
Oh.
So you're taking the Ardha Yama, okay. Right? So then that makes an hour and a half,
okay.
Right? Which means 90 minutes. And you divide that in half, then you get 45 minutes. You can just keep going down. It's just a matter of what you're... Does that make sense? Because technically it's off of 48 minutes. That's a muhurta. Like that. So
why Prabhupada introduces this system in ISKCON?
Why introduce?
Why he didn't introduce this?
Because the Goswami says, so must we first purify us by this Astakalya Bhajan? Goswami, no, that is incorrect. It's not necessary.
If it's not necessary, why then this
Ashtanga? Means then why, who, what? I don't. And we need a context here. Means, see, it sees. The thinking process is good. But since it's a conversation, then it should trigger something that creates words coming out of the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Otherwise, then you have to turn off the mental connection. Right? In other words, if you want to think about it, then turn off the connection. And then I can move my attention to back to the book or someone else. But if you just keep the link and then keep on thinking, okay, you know, cool, yeah, then it kind of slows things down, right? Others can't appreciate the, you know, that, how you say that, you know, the whole, how you say, Li and Qi thing that's happened, right, you know? Does that make sense? So either say something, or at least, you know, drop the energy. You understand? Still nothing coming out of that. Okay, moving on. Like that. When you have a question, raise your hand again. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, you got a nod. Okay. Okay, no, that is incorrect. Meditation upon the Astakalya Lila of Goloka must be conducted on the basis of one's own realization of Braja Lila. Right? And if, in other words, if you don't understand Gokul, how you'll meditate on Goloka? Right? Because the point is Gokul means that you're seeing it according to your level of realization. So in other words, if that level of realization is not on the pure Shuddha Sattva, then it's going to be blocked by some material activity. So that means you're not actually seeing the Astakalya Lila. You know what I'm saying? Just because sometimes, you know, you can think, oh, you know, this time they're doing this and that. And so I think that's not what's important. The point is Astakalya Lila Bhajan means that's all you're thinking about. You're just sitting down chanting all day and absorbed in the name, which is Krishna, and Krishna at this time is doing this pastime. That's Astakalya Lila Bhajan. So if someone's not sitting down and chanting all day and doing that, that's not Astakalya Lila Bhaja. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting around and doing this and that, managing this and that. That's not Astakalya Lila Bhaja. They may know something about it and appreciate it, but it's not this. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying. You don't have to work on that, purifying my bhajan in Astakalya Lila. You have to work on purifying your bhajan and chanting the holy name. Yeah. Does that make sense? Chanting the holy name, associating with Vaishnavas, that's what you have to work on. The other one, the point is if you're absorbed in Krishna, that will come automatically. So you don't have to worry about that. Yes?
I was also thinking that Pancharatrika is somewhat based on
yes.
Pastime.
Yes. So means we're already doing. Krishna's getting up in the morning, right? He's having his Mangal Artik, right? The Mangal Artik is, it means who does the Mangal Artik for Krishna? The gopis, right? So that's what they do. Now in Vaikuntha, he gets up early and then the residents of Vaikuntha, then they're doing. So therefore, from that aspect, then there'll be a match. You know, because in other words, the servants of the Lord are there. He wakes up because he gets up. That's the point, is it's all Vaidhi. So therefore you get up. Like in Dwarka, he's getting up at 3 in the morning. Like that. You know, he gets up at 3, gets up, takes his bath, you know, like that. Then does his activities, then court, right? He gets his darshan to the devotees, you know, he sees everybody. Like that. Then he has his lunch, he takes his rest, you know, then gets up in the afternoon, then the evening things, then the night. Right, and the kirtan again and everything, and then takes rest. So that's basically what's going on the Astakalya Lila. We just leave out the part where then he steps out with the gopis. Right, you know. Right, understand? So you don't leave the door open. Right, you know. Well, he's got to get out. No, you follow the Pancharatrika that, you know, demons should not get in, so you lock it. Right, you know. Does that make sense? So it's based on that. All it is formalizing the Bhagavad. Because that's how we see it. We're doing these things because we're feeding Krishna 6 times a day. Why? Yeah, no, I mean, that's the reason that the Pancharatra, but why are we doing that? Because Pancharatra says, Otherwise, if it's up to anybody, you know, they're not going to do it. But Mother Jashoda, if Krishna doesn't eat that many times, he's going to die. She really thinks that, sincerely. Right? So he gets up, there's some little snack, you know, then he has his breakfast, you know, then there's going to be, you know, his lunch like that, and then when he wakes up in the afternoon, there's going to be a little snack, and then there's going to be the evening kind of meal, then there's, the later one, so like that. And then he goes to rest. So if he doesn't eat that many times, then there's going to be a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how she functions. So that's why he's fed that many times. Right? So that's the thing, is eating is always going on. Right? But that's always one of the questions. Do we have to do that many offerings? What's the minimum offerings we can do? That's always the question. What's the absolute bare minimum what we can get by with, you know? Like that. Well, let's see. Why don't you try this, once a year on Janmashtami, change the dress and make an offering. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Cool.
It has to be every year.
He said, does it have to be every year? Someone wants to discuss deity worship. These are always the questions. How often do you actually have to bathe the deity? So how often do you take a bath? I change the clothes. Can we just bathe them on a codicil and change the clothes then? Says, well, as long as that's what you do. Hey, cool. But that's the thing. Is the Pancharatra sets the rules. The archa form of the deity, the archa form, then that, its main specialty is it likes baths. Right? Because otherwise you can do all the puja to a picture, but you can't give a bath. So therefore the archa means they can enjoy the bath and the dressing, right? Everybody wants to have deities. What's the two things they absolutely just don't want to do? Bath and dressing. Yeah. So then don't get a deity. Get a picture. Get a yantra. Get something. Do something in the sand. But don't get a deity. No, they have to have a deity. But they don't want to bathe the dress. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is Pancharatra gives what are the things so that one gets what you want. But it's not the same. Who said it's not the same? Means Mahavishnu is worshipping Krishna as a picture. Of course, the picture was painted by Vishakha Devi herself. But that's his deity. I think his name, Madan Gopal? I think it's his deity, Advaitacharya's. It's a painting. It's not a deity as such. It's not an archer. And here's Mahavishnu, so it means he's kind of in control of one quarter of the cosmic creation, so it's not like he can't, arrange to get himself a deity. Well, I kept going to the market, it was always closed. Then finally it was open, but then the guy had gone on vacation. So he didn't have that problem, right? How often do you hear of, somebody getting a painting that Vishakha Devi herself painted, right? Like that. So he had it. So that's rare. But the picture. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that each deity, there's eight kind of deities, each one's there for a specific function. Just like in the yagya, you have all those pots, those are deities. So you don't have to bathe them or dress them. Like that. You don't have to, do the boga all day. You don't have to do all these things. You just install them and do the 16 items, and then they're done for the day. Right? Then the next morning they'll be gone, and then you install them again. Does that make sense? So each thing has their advantage for what's going on. Does that make sense? Yes.
Do you say that
did I say? Did you say? Was there someone else here? Is there a rock with the face on it come back? No, he said it, actually. He made me say it. I didn't want to say it. He said, "Hey." You know.
I just said it like that because I can't believe that's what he said.
What did I say? What did I say that you can't believe I said?
Well, if this is what I'm thinking you said, so here it is.
Okay.
So did the pots with the coconut and the mango leaf, that's a deity?
That's a deity.
Can you explain?
Can I explain? What do you want to explain?
Like how? Is that because...
It's one of the eight forms. That water is one of the eight forms. So in the archer form, means in stone, in metal, in jewels, in water, in earth, wood, painting, like that, in the mind. These are all the different kinds of deities. So each one of those has their natural forms. So the archer can be made of stone, wood, metal, even earth. Sometimes they do terracotta and stuff like that. So water is one of them. So water means in the pot. The water is put in the pot, you install the deities in the pot. So that's the form that's used. That's the authorized form. So it's the pot with the leaves and the coconut. Coconut means it's supposed to be some fruit. So of fruits, coconut's considered to be the best because it has all the different aspects that a fruit can have. You know what I'm saying? It's got the husk, it's got the shell, it's got the, you know, all the things. It's got more than any other fruit. So that's why coconut is preferred. But I mean, you could put an apple on there. But, you know, generally they use a coconut.
And that lasts just one day.
The installation lasts one day. Means they'll go away in the night, and then you install them again. So that's why before you start the yajnas, and that you have to come in, you know, purify the place, reinstall the pots, install, you know, do the mandala for the fire and everything. So there's a whole lot of puja that goes on before everybody shows up, right? Many prefer to do it after everybody showed up, so everyone can see all the rituals going on. But we generally do it all before anybody shows up. So we say the yajna is starting at 6, that means we've already been busy, you know, before that, doing everything. Because most people aren't really worried about watching a pot being installed. Right? Especially when there's like 30 of them. Like 30 of them.
Yeah.
Means there'll be more. The time.
And when you do this, like, do you have to do it every single day, or you just...
Yes.
So once you start...
No. It means the yajna is going every day, therefore the installation of the pots are every day. There's no yajna, there's no installation of pots. Yeah. But traditionally, before puja, they would do gatstapana, even in the deity worship. So you always see in a lot of the old temples, there'll always be a pot there that they've installed Ganesh in. But for us, we worship the spiritual master, so that's not necessary. Right? But a lot of them, they have... So whenever you have big ceremonies, they generally start with installing the pot. Yes?
Maharaj, did Vijay get the answer from his guru here about no, that is incorrect, because I remember a comment Prabhupada made, he said, first deserve, then desire.
Desire, yeah. The point is, the thing is, must we first purify the quality of our bhajan, right? The point is, do we have to purify first the quality of our particular service? Or do we simply have to absorb ourselves in devotional service? So this idea that I have to, just like you don't have to focus on getting rid of the anartas, you have to focus on being Krishna conscious. And anartha means you're not Krishna conscious. Right? So the focus is on being Krishna conscious. If the anartha gets in the way, you analyze the anartha, so you say, see, it's not worth replacing devotional service with that anartha. That's just so you'd be convinced, so the next time you analyze it, you'll come up with a better conclusion. Right? It's not that by focusing on it, then you get it to go away. Because what's going to make it go away? Then you're dealing material with material. Nice material with not so nice material. But that's not devotional. Devotional is devotional against material.
You can't clean dirt with dirt.
Yes, you can't clean dirt with dirt. Okay, no, that is incorrect. Meditation upon the Astakaliya Lila of Goloka must be conducted on the basis of one's own realization of Braja Lila. Then on the strength of one's individual bhajan, one attracts the Lord's grace, and accordingly the Lilas will be spontaneously manifest before one. So it's like, no, am I missing out by not being involved? No, the point is as you get the grace of the Lord, it'll automatically be spontaneously manifest. So when you're sitting there all day thinking about this, pastimes of the Lord, then that's what you do. But if you're not, don't worry about it. You just chant, do your service. Because it's a matter of, that's the whole point. Then on the strength of one's individual bhajan, one attracts the Lord's grace, and accordingly the lilas will be spontaneously manifest before one. Because this is a matter of spontaneous attraction. It's not a ritual. That's why we're saying it's when they try to ritualize Raganuga Bhakti, right? Raganuga Sadhana. And then they actually make it into a Vaidhi. No, you have to think of this, you have to do this, you have to do that. But that's all Vaidhi. And the fun thing is they don't even notice. Mm-hmm. Right? They said it's spontaneous attraction. Yes.
So there's this book that lists all the past stuff, like what Ocean's doing and the Gopis are doing every day. And so I was going to get that book, so I shouldn't get it.
The point is it'll tell you what they're doing every day, but that's just the facts. That's the Kali Lila Bhajan means you're naturally absorbed in that. You're not absorbed by anything. And someone who's absorbed in that isn't absorbed in anything of the world here.
But so, I was going to use it to meditate, but I should wait.
But how will you meditate? Meditate means you do your 20 minutes of meditation.
Like chanting Japanese.
But the point is this goes name, form, qualities, then pastime. So if you can't focus on the name, how are you going to focus on the pastimes? It'll always disappear. We'll start off and then it'll go away. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, focus on the name and all that when you hear the name. Because as it said, from the name comes the form. Because you've seen Krishna's form, but when you chant, it'll come that you just automatically see the form, because that's who the name is Krishna, and then there'll be all these nice qualities that will be then when you chant will be then the interaction with the devotees based on those qualities, that'll be the pastimes.
Okay.
You understand? It just comes. It's just like this. Let us say I say a name of somebody you don't know. Let's say do you know Gomer Pyle? Okay, so any form comes up or anything? No, okay. What if I say Donald Duck? Do you get a form?
Yeah.
Okay, so I said the name, you automatically get a form. That's what it means by name, form, qualities, pastimes. You understand? So somebody who knew more, if I say their name, then you know them and their qualities. Right, more close than that is you know their interactions, how they deal, like that. So if I say the name, let's say if I say the name of your mother, then you think of all these different things of interactions and everything, right? So it's not just a name. So when we say Krishna's name, it's just a name. That means that's the starting place. But it'll automatically come that these others happen. It's not a matter of forcing. It's not a matter of you get that, then that will improve the chanting. No, it's by focusing on the name, understanding that this is Krishna. That's what will increase it. Because if you understand it's Krishna, then how you understand Krishna, that's what you'll meditate on.
So when the pastimes come, there won't be pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. There will be pastimes of devotees that I know.
No, the point is Astakaliya Lila is not just gopis. Astakaliya Lila means the whole 24 hours in Vrindavan. So, you understand? So Mother Yashoda wakes him up in the morning, he goes out and milks the cows or the cowherd boys and Nanda Baba, then he comes back and has his bath, You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all happening at Nandamaras' house.
Oh, okay, so you mean converting to the spiritual world, not to me.
The point is you're meditating on Krishna. It's not who he's with or what he's doing. It's just like this. When Mother Yashoda sees Krishna in her house, then parental Ras is the natural manifestation, right? Now, what happens when she sees him playing with the cowherd boys? What's the rasa she has with Krishna? Yeah, what happens if he sees her with the gopis? Same. So that's the point, is that if the rasa is there, it doesn't matter the situation. Does that make sense? So this idea that you have to only hear about Krishna in the, you know, with the gopis, and that will cultivate it, what has that got to do with it?
No, sorry, I didn't mean that. I was just using that as an example.
No, no, but I'm saying this is what many people will say. The Sahajiyas say like this. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like the boys are on the other side of the street with the, you know, with the, you know, amongst their group, and they're just being idiot boys, right? The girls are on the other side of the street. Right? Does that make sense? But the girls see, you know, potential conjugal, you know, lovers. Right? Even though they're just a bunch of idiots, you know, interacting with themselves. You understand? So that's the whole point. The Astakalya Leela means the 24 hours of the day, but whatever rasa one's in, that's how you see Krishna. Because Krishna is the Alambana. His qualities are the Alambana. So therefore, it's any aspect of Krishna will remind you of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The gopis hear about Ram Leela. They're thinking Krishna's doing this. You know, it is the pastimes of Ram. But the point, they don't have any problem with that. But the point is it's still Krishna doing those pastimes. So that's why we don't actually have a problem when Lord Chaitanya or Vishnu or any of the Vishnu Murtis wears the peacock feather. Because for us, it's all Krishna. Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa, Keshava Drita Mina Sharira Krishna. It's the opening of the song, right? This Dasa Avatar Stotram. It's saying that Krishna has taken all these 10 avatars. So that's why Nrisimhadev having a peacock feather is not a problem, because we're seeing Krishna. It's a matter of realization. You can get down to the facts, well, does he actually wear a peacock feather and this and that, but it's like we get down to the facts and what are you doing talking about it? Like that, you know? You know, why are you talking about it? Because the point is the devotee sees him that way, he responds that way. You know what I'm saying? Prahlad Maharaj, she's Nrisimhadev, is a real nice guy. Right? Hiranyakashipu, now he has a bit of a problem. Right? So now you're going to say, well, Prahlad Maharaj can't see him like that? Because that'll bother his Bhav. You know, she said, we get too much into Bhav. Bhav here is, it says, what the Bhav is. That's why it's explained. Otherwise, we'll come up with all our own ideas of what Bhava is. It's not a big deal. If it was a big deal, it means when devotees did any little thing that seems to Haji, a Prabhupada would bang, catch it right in the moment before it's even able to manifest. So if the peacock feather was a problem, he wouldn't have said something. You understand? So, but why is that? It's because it's Keshava is doing all that. You know? That's our, how you say? That's our song, right? You know, saying Lord Chaitanya would sit and listen to this song. You know, Srup Damodar, Ramana and Roy would sing these songs. So his highest meditation, he said, and that's the opening song. You know? So that's the point. Krishna is, it's all Krishna. So wherever you see Krishna, right, even you see a picture of Paramatma, I bet it's Krishna's doing that. Does that make sense? That's what they're seeing. That's why they don't have a problem with, you know, whatever time the Leela is and anything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's
it. Sometimes say that one short verse for
Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Now, first he should focus on chanting the holy name and properly associating with devotees. then it's just a matter of, you know, whatever's happening at the time, you listen to that. It's not that you don't go to Bhagavatam class because, you know, you first have to listen to Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter. Because it's all the same. It's the same person. Does that make sense? Okay. It is not necessary that one tries to improve one's bhava and perception of the pastime solely on one's own endeavors. Right? So that's not important. So right there. Because sometimes it's said that, well, Bhakti Vinod Thakur introduced the Astakaliya Leela and this and that or support. But no, this is the point. Mm-hmm. Like that. It's not that he doesn't describe it. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's not that you separately endeavor for it. Just like you don't separately endeavor for humility or tolerance. You do your service. Humility and tolerance naturally have to be used. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, in doing your devotional service, you have to be humble, you have to be tolerant. Right? So, naturally in devotional service, these things will spontaneously manifest. You know, if they're not manifest, don't worry. They will manifest. Right? And if they are manifest, then you don't have to also worry about it either. Right? Yes.
So, according to the previous description, then those who really meditate on Astakaliya Leela never would really talk about it.
They won't talk about it.
Very,
that's the point that he made before.
Yeah.
Someone who is won't talk about it. And someone who isn't, they're the ones talking about it.
Yeah, and professing this like
that. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like... Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like... The married women in a social situation, are they talking about all the details of marriage? No. But are the girls that are not married but are a little bit older, what are they talking about? That's all they talk about. So that's the point. The ones that are actually on that platform, they don't talk about it. It's the enthusiasts talk about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Like that. Okay. Okay, Vijaya, one of the axioms of rhetoric states, a person attains the grades of perfection proportionate to his intellect, right? Because rhetoric is logic, how to argue, right? How to present, because the point is you can present things something very nicely. In other words, you have a logic of presentation, because the rhetoric means you're dealing with more than just intellect. Logic means what is the actual logical progression of a point. But rhetoric takes into consideration the mind and the ego. So therefore, you can say something that will win the argument. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, to be clever enough to be able to do that, you need to be intelligent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you're using your intelligence how to stop them because of, you know, bringing out, taking advantage of their mind. Mm. Does that make sense? So therefore, what person attains the grades of perfection are proportionate to his intellect. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. How then he becomes better and better at whatever he's doing. The more the intellect, the more he's able to observe the field, see what's the better options, and take advantage. Mm. According to this logic, whatever quality of meditation was present during the years of sadhana will beget the equivalent degree of perfection. Therefore, may I assume that after all, it is imperative that one refines his meditation upon Goloka. Goswami, very true. Whatever is present in Brajalila is rooted in the Supreme Absolute Truth. Nothing in Brajalila is contrary to the transcendental reality. Any contradiction would indicate imperfection. When sadhana is purified and mature, it is transformed into siddhi. And as sadhana is progressively refined, the incipient perceptions of siddhi become sharper. Give full attention to your sadhana so that it is executed properly. However, do not try to purify your bhava and perception of lila by your own capacity. So in other words, it's to that degree that you're properly applying yourself within the sadhana now, is then naturally how quickly you're going to come to the perfectional platform. Also, whatever is the basis of your bhajan here is going to be the basis, is going to be what you're dealing with there. Right? So as Gaudiyas, then that means it's Vrindavan. It's Krishna, you know, with Radharani. Does that make sense? With Lord Chaitanya, it's that. So we understand all this, but we're not separately trying to cultivate it. But we have an understanding that this is what our bhajan is for. The goal is to get into the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? So naturally, that's what it will mature into. Right? It's not that we take this and then say, therefore, if I don't practice my meditation now, it's there. Because the point is meditation. Okay, now let us say we take Mother Yashoda. What's her meditation like on Krishna? Is there any break?
No.
And to what degree, what intensity is it? Is it at the level of samadhi? Yes, okay. Now, there's five levels of meditation. So the beginning level means it's just occasional. So in the material world, when we say meditation, what do we mean? In the contemporary concept, when we say meditation, what do we mean?
Sometimes.
You know how often it is. But because it's there, then we think, oh, I'm always meditating. But it's like, you know, you think about it a few minutes here, after a few days, a few minutes. You know, a couple of weeks go by and then there's, you know, 10, 20 minutes. You know, then we'll say, oh, I'm always meditating. But actually, according to, you know, the Patanjali Sutras, it's not. We're only occasionally. But that, for us, is meditation. Does that make sense? So it's accepted as meditation, even though compared to what the yogi's trying to do, that's not meditation. Right? But because from our perspective, we're thinking about it occasionally and not even regularly. That's meditation. And then as it becomes more regular, more deep, it just keeps going. So the point is if you're thinking about Krishna and how we want to please Krishna and in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, that is meditation, even though it lasts only a few moments. Does that make sense? So that's the meditation, that natural meditation. What he's saying is you don't have to separately endeavor. It's that natural meditation. In other words, we're meditating on things all day. We just happen to meditate on generally more materialistic things.
Right. So if we meditate on Krishna just for a few moments here and there, and we still consider it meditation, would it be considered only because it's based on our own perception?
Is it based on our own perception? No, it means the whole idea is that your gradations of meditation are based on the qualification of the individual. So if the qualification is only occasional, then they're on the platform of occasion.
Because what I have in mind is like Narayana Muni, when he was young and he said he didn't play, but it was his conception.
Yeah, of course. But it's based on that. But that's why the point is therefore one will feel I'm always absorbed in Krishna. And so for one's platform, that's good, because that's what you're conscious of, that you're there. You're not necessarily conscious that much of the day we're thinking of other things and this and that.
So it's the beginning.
Yes, it's the beginning. So that's why it's positive. But what we're saying here is you don't have to overdo that, overemphasize it, to make the process work. No, it's according to one's level of realization, one absorbs himself in one's service. And by practicing one's sadhana and the association of devotees properly, then automatically all these elements of meditation, the quality of the meditation, everything will naturally improve. Because it's not about meditation, it's about service. As we said, Mother Yashoda is, you know, 100% in samadhi on Krishna, but she's not sitting down in yoga. That's what Shantaras does. She's busy taking care of the house and making arrangements and doing things for Krishna. You know, does that make sense? So it's active. That's why this idea of just meditating isn't important for us. Right? It's a matter of being absorbed in service. That's what, because we're servants, so we do service. Now, as a servant, we should be also absorbed in Krishna. But that will come with time as we become purified. Is that something?
So in our process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, same.
Yeah, but the emphasis is on Shravana. Because if you hear, you will speak. Okay, just funny example. Okay?
Okay.
You have a lady, she's sitting in her house, right? She's been there all day, she's been alone, right? You know, is there anything to talk about? No. Somebody calls her on the phone, right? Tells her some real choice gossip. Okay? So that's Shravana. Okay, now as soon as that person who called hangs up the phone, now what is going to happen? Then she's going to call everybody else. That's Kirtana. You know what I'm saying? If you hear, you will speak. And what you're speaking about is what you'll remember.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's why the focus is on Shravana. Because it automatically, the others will come. Right? Yes.
So, throughout the day, I'm walking around, and sometimes I spontaneously, think of Krishna, but other times, things are coming to my mind, and it's like I'm not consciously thinking of things. It's just coming to my mind, and then every now and then, I'll jump in there and I'll say, "You better be thinking of Krishna right now," and then I check if my mind's thinking of Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's fine. What it's meaning is you're not forcing a meditation. That's what I'm meaning, because otherwise you get a book on Astakaliya Lila and then read that and then sit down and try to meditate on that while you chant. It won't happen. You know, you'll still think of, okay, we're doing this tomorrow and, what sari will I wear? And although that will happen. So the point is, you don't have to worry about it, because those things will automatically, it's not because I've read it, therefore I'll meditate on it, because then that means it's by karma and jnana, therefore bhakti is coming. No, it's spontaneously manifest in the heart. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying. It's not a problem. These things come up. Everything that's in the Astakaliya Lila, we've heard about in the Krishna book. All it is it's not been put into that form to just show how the day works. But the point is all those things, everything's there. There's nothing left out. So the point is it's not that you have to have a particular skeleton to make it work. Because it's about a natural attraction to Krishna. It's not an intellectual thing. Right? We intellectualize, we take, Panchanga Nyaya, the five steps of logic, Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana. So we categorize, because we're using the intelligence there to make things function. But this, being absorbed in Krishna, that's not a matter of intellect. Right? We use intellect to see, that I'm going off track. You understand? But it's not that by intellect meditation works. Does that make sense?
So then by what you just said, then maybe I shouldn't be trying, making sure that I think of Krishna.
No. You're trying to make sure you think of Krishna, but it's not an artificial element of cultivation. It's you should be thinking of Krishna, but there's plenty to think about. You know what I'm saying? We're thinking, no, if I don't constantly read, then I won't think about it. Yeah, it's like an ocean goes in and one drop kind of remains. Okay, that's one can look at it like that. But the point is the girl sees the boy. How long does she see? It's a moment. It's a look. It's a glance. It was a smile. And then how much of the day can she remember that?
All day.
You understand? So the point is one moment's enough to keep you busy all day, right? Let alone that we, know the whole Krishna book frontwards, backwards. Why aren't we remembering it? Because we're not. That's not where our focus is. It's just lack of purification. That's all. But if we continue with the process, then we'll start remembering those. Does that make sense? So in other words, we don't have to create something else. Like that. It means the process is already there. You like that, then every night read Krishna book. Or whenever you can. Then the point is we're studying the philosophy now, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be hearing the pastimes. Right? So the Krishna book is the perfect because it already includes the other nine cantos. When we say, no, but I want to get right into the pastime. Here we're discussing directly rasa. Right? But mostly what are the questions we're discussing? Why it's okay. So in other words, we're discussing here 10th canto stuff, But basically, all the questions are within the first nine cantos. You understand? So that's why the Krishna book is so perfect, because it already has the nine cantos written into it. And Prabhupada does it so smoothly, you don't even notice when he goes from directly describing the pastime into discussing the reasons behind it, and then goes back in. It's so smooth, so perfect. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're trying. So read that, you know? And then if you want to read something else, then read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Then you have both. Does that make sense? Okay. Give full attention to your sadhana so it is executed properly. However, do not try to purify your bhava and perception of lila by your own capacity. In due time, Krishna, who is the fountainhead of the Achintya Shakti, will do that for you. Right? You don't have to do it yourself. All this thing, I have to do it myself. But then that means it's I have to. That's Vaidhi. So you can't get Vaidhi from Rag. I mean Rag from Vaidhi. It's by Krishna's mercy that that comes. Okay, yes.
If I think that my effort is giving that, then I'm seeing Bhakti as independent.
Yeah, you're not seeing he's independent, you're not seeing Krishna as the source of rasa, that he's the one doing this. Then thinking, I'm doing this, and then it comes down to his karma. Right? So these are all the little tricks that Maya plays. It makes it look like, oh, it's more advanced, but actually it's not. On your own, such attempts will be adulterated by the attitude of empirical, non-devotional jnana. But when Krishna showers his grace, all anomalies will be removed effortlessly. Otherwise, that's the thing. You meditate upon those things artificially. Then that's where one comes up with all kinds of strange things. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. One has to watch out for that. It says, but when Krishna showers his grace, all anomalies will be removed effortlessly. They'll just go away on their own. Yes.
Can we say this is a general thing? We can't actually do anything on our own.
Yeah, in general, no. It's just that we have that desire to make the effort to be useful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing. We're being useful in the Lord's pastimes. So these are the Sankirtan pastimes. So we're being useful in his pastimes. Right? But the point is, his pastimes also take place. So therefore, where the Lord performed his pastimes, it's also special. Right? Because the point is you're preaching for what? For people to appreciate the specialness of the Dham. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Vijaya. Gurudev, I feel so blessed today. May I ask another question? Are the consorts of Dwarka also allowed shelter in Goloka? Goswami. In the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha offers endless bliss. Vaikuntha is the highest attainment. Dwarka and countless other realms are present there. The queens of Dwarka reside and serve Krishna in their individual palaces. No one else is allowed to enter Goloka in Madhurya Rasa besides the Vrajaramanis, damsels of Vrindavan. The entire spectrum of transcendental leelas enacted in Vraja is present in Goloka. However, as I mentioned in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, that Queen Rukmini enjoys Swakya Leela with Krishna in Mathura within the precincts of Goloka. Vijaya. Okay. So, in other words, Dwarka is Vaikuntha, but it's within the precincts of Mathura. Does that make sense? So, when we say Goloka, we mean Vrindavan, because that's Goloka. But it has all these other kind of like connections. Does that make sense? Yes. No? Very good? Okay. Vijaya, the range of Parakya Rasa pastimes are visible in Vraja. Is it present in Goloka in the same sequence? Goswami, yes, the pastimes are present in Goloka in the same sequence, except those portions that are enacted in conjunction with the Maya Shakti. Although these portions are missing, each of them has a pure transcendental source. I do not wish to delve deeper into this topic. You'll learn about it through your own mature bhaja. Right? So in other words, aspects are not there. You know, it's probably mentioned, the gopis, their husbands aren't there. So those are things that are created. So those are missing. But no one has a problem with that. Right? You know, in other words, if in the Swakya, if in a you know, Swakya pastime, if the husband doesn't show up, is that a problem?
Yep.
Right, yeah. So then no one has to worry about it. Right? Man, as he said, it has its origin in the spiritual world, in there. Like that. So these kind of things. He's not going to get into that at this point.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai.
Janyatai Gaurav Bhaktivedanta ki.